images like you see in textbooks right away. It's a difficult thing, and probably most of you suck at it, and probably most of you will still suck at it when you leave today, but that's fine. You'll be a little better. Let's talk about the anatomy of the scope, or first of all, scopes in general. The scope that you have is obviously a microscope, but more specifically, it is a light microscope. Not all microscopes are light microscopes. A light microscope is one that uses humanly visible light that is passed through the specimen, whatever you're looking at, before it reaches your eyes. Electron microscopes don't use light. They use beams of electrons. They can get a lot greater magnification, but that's not what we're using. We're using a light microscope. And more specifically than that, we're using a slide microscope. Not all light microscopes are slide microscopes. And for instance, in that cabinet to the right of these ones, there are dissecting scopes that you'll also use. You don't have to today, really, but dissecting scopes are not for as big a magnification. They are for putting things in there that are much bigger than the what you put on a slide. You can look at your fingers and stuff with dissecting scopes, but they're also light microscopes. A slide microscope should be used only for things that are on slides. You would never put anything else other than a slide onto a slide scope. And even more specific than that, this scope that you have is an example of a compound light microscope. And what is it that makes it compound?
It's both objective and
yes. In a compound microscope, there are... It's not enough to just say there are multiple lenses. There are different types of lenses through which light passes in sequence. In other words, in a compound scope, light passes through one kind of lens first. That magnifies the image a certain amount. And then that already magnified image gets magnified again when the light passes through a second lens before it reaches your eye. So it's not compound because you look through two. That makes it binocular, not compound. The simplest possible compound light microscope would have one objective lens and one ocular lens. Those lenses are named for good reason. The ocular lenses, or one or two, it's two in this case, are so called because ocular means of the eye. So those are the lenses you put your eyes up to. The objective lens is called that because it's closest to the object, the thing that you're trying to magnify, the thing that's on the slide. So this slide model, for example, has three different objective lenses that you can choose from. There's a fourth spot, but it's empty. And those are housed on this black ring that swivels. What is that swiveling device called?
The iris?
No, but that's another swiveling device with a black ring. The thing that holds the different objective lenses is called the nose piece. So you swivel the nose piece to choose the objective lens you want to use, and by choosing different objective lenses, you change the overall magnification apparent to your eyes. Notice that the different objective lenses have different lengths here. The longer ones have higher magnification. And the individual magnifications of the objective lenses themselves are stamped on the side. For instance, the red one, the shortest one, is a 4x objective. That means just by itself, that makes the image look four times bigger than the object actually is. But you don't see that, right? Because the light in a compound scope goes through the objective lens first, and then through another lens, the ocular lens. The ocular lenses on this are by themselves 10x. So a total magnification is always going to be the mathematical product of the two individual magnifications. And therefore, if you have it on the 4x objective, the total magnification is 4x times 10x, which is 40x. The image will look 40 times bigger to you than it actually is. When a scope like this one has a choice of objective lenses, multiple objective lenses, then the whatever is the lowest magnification objective, which will depend on the model, but in this model it's the 4X, has a special name. Does anyone know that? What we call the lowest powered objective?
Scanning.
Yes, it's the scanning lens. And the reason for that is pretty simple. Whatever lens setup you're using, when you actually look through a scope, you see a circle. Right? That's called the field of view. The circle of light and anything that's in it is the field of view. And regardless of what lens you're using, the field of view looks to your eyes like it's always the same size, but it's actually not. It depends on the magnification, because the field of view, that circle, is really just part of the overall slide that you're looking at. It doesn't have to be positioned any in the center necessarily, but the circle is what you see. It's just part of the overall area. And when you have low magnification, that's like being zoomed out. So it's a bigger circle. You're seeing a bigger fraction of the overall slide's area. When you go up in magnification by going to a longer, higher-powered objective, you're still seeing a circle that will look the same to you, but it's really just a smaller circle, and then therefore a smaller part of the overall area. That's why things inside it look bigger, because to make this smaller circle look this big, everything has to be bigger, right? So it's more zoomed in. Well, the scanning lens is called the scanning lens because by being lowest power, the field of view is the biggest and therefore gives you a bigger overall view, so you can easily scan back and forth on the slide to find something interesting that you might want to look at closer. You center it first with the scanning lens, and then you can go in and take a closer look by increasing the magnification by changing the objective lens. All right, so that's why we call it the scanning lens. Was someone trying to get in? I thought I heard someone. The light, in this case it's a lamp, not sunlight, but the original one was sunlight, is housed on the bottom of the device. And just notice that there are, even if you have the power switch on, you don't necessarily have light, because you have to have it plugged in. I don't. You have to have the power switch on, but also on the left side there is a dimmer knob. And a common mistake among beginning microscopists is to assume that more light is always better. It's not. You can wash out the image very easily by using too much light. So always remember that the dimmer is there, and turn it down when necessary and up when necessary to get whatever you're looking at to get the best view. The reason that you have to adjust it is because the amount of light coming through the lens depends on the lens itself. So when you're at a lower magnification, which is really a bigger circle, right, more light is coming in from the lamp. At higher magnifications, less light is coming in, so it's going to get darker unless you ramp up the dimmer. But if you have the dimmer maxed out right away, it's probably going to be too much light. There are other things that affect, well, I just named one, the choice of objective lenses affects the amount of light, but so does this ring on the bottom, which you can adjust, and remember that that's there as well. That can be called either the iris or the aperture or the diaphragm. They really all refer to the same thing. Blades, just like on an SLR camera, that you can stop down or open up. That, of course, is also going to affect the amount of light, but that's not the only thing that affects. Therefore, if you want to make an adjustment to only the light intensity, the only way to properly do that is to use the dimmer switch, the dimmer knob on the side. Okay, now, the slides, once you have slides, get put onto this black platform, but that platform is not the right name for it. What is this platform called? That's the stage, yes. In a slide microscope, the slide rests on the stage. But you should not when you put a slide onto the microscope, you should not pay attention to the position of the slide. Don't try to center it over the hole that the light is coming through. Pay no attention to that. Instead, always load it the only way it can be loaded properly into this spring clamp, the silver spring clamp. Load it in there wherever it is. You don't care about where it is because this silver spring clamp and the associated thing that moves it is called the mechanical stage. It rests on top of the stage. And it can be controlled by the two concentric knobs that hang down to the right of the stage. So that's why it doesn't matter whether the slide is centered. You put it in the only way it'll go into the clamp, and then you use the mechanical stage knobs to actually move it around and get it centered to begin with to start looking. Those two knobs for the mechanical stage operate just like the knobs on an Etch-a-Sketch. One of them moves the mechanical stage right and left, and the other one moves it forward and backward. I mean, away from you and toward you. Okay. There's also concentric knobs in duplicate. There's a pair on either side, and they just do the same thing. The very biggest knob on the whole scope, which I'm moving right now, is called the coarse focus knob. But notice what it does. It moves the stage up and down. Well, so does the fine focus knob, the smaller version. It just takes a lot of more turning on the fine focus knob to move it. You don't even see it really moving when you... It is moving, but it's harder to see. These are called focus knobs because they focus the image, of course. But notice what's happening. Mechanically, you focus a microscope by positioning the slide at the proper distance for that slide from the objective lens. So if you look at it, if this is the front of the objective lens, this is the edge of the slide, you have your specimen on the slide, whatever it is. To make that look focused to your eyes, that specimen has to be the right distance from the lens. And that's why the focus knobs move the stage up and down. All right. The coarse focus knob really should only ever be used with one lens, the scanning lens. And that's because this model of scope is an example of one that is called parfocal. A parfocal scope is one that is designed so that when you change objective lenses by turning the nose piece, the focus will be roughly correct. If you've already focused it for the first lens, all the other ones should at least roughly be in focus, and therefore the only tweak you should have to do is with the fine focus, not with the coarse focus. Okay, so use the coarse focus only with the scanning lens, because the scanning lens for each slide, every time you change slide, should be the first lens you use, because it is by far the easiest to focus. All right. Now, using this thing correctly, well, let me just say one more thing about this easiest to focus. The reason that it's easiest to focus, the lowest powered objective, is because of something that's called depth of focus. There is only one mathematically true distance that will be perfect focus. But because of the way our eyes operate and our brains, it can be off a little bit in either direction and will still look focused to our eyes. It has to get a certain amount of wrong before we notice it, in other words. And so if we say that this is the correct distance to be focused, what I'm talking about is that there is a range somewhere in this bracket, we'll say. Anywhere in there will look focused. That's called the depth of focus. Similar to a depth of field in photography. Right? You can have deep focus where several things at different distances look in focus, or you can open up the aperture for a portrait, for instance, and make the person's face in focus and the background blurry. It's because you're changing the depth of field. The depth of focus is a similar thing. Well, the depth of focus is widest, deepest, biggest for the smallest objective lens, which is the scanning lens, and that's why it's the easiest to focus, because anywhere in here will work. Well, to demonstrate that depth of focus changes when you change objective lens, one of your prepared slides that you're looking at today is the one called colored threads. So it's just three threads, three different colored threads, but they're placed in the slide at different depths. So when you're in the scanning lens, because of that wide depth of focus, you can focus it in a way that all three will look in focus to your eyes, even though they're at different distances from the lens. But when you go up to high level, high magnification, you can only focus one at a time, and you'll have to change the focus to make the other one come into focus. The other ones will be blurry. That's because this depth of focus gets smaller and smaller. And in fact, at very high magnification, the depth of focus is even thinner than the thickness of a cell. So you can be looking at an individual cell, but only be able to focus on one level of its thickness. Okay, that's depth of focus. The reason that each person got its own microscope is not simply because we have enough. It's because it's important to use your own, because to use these things properly, you need to actually customize the scope to your own body. And there's two ways that you do that. This is a binocular scope, but notice that you can grab the two oculars and move them farther apart or closer together. It's important to do that, and you don't even need a slide to do it. If you just turn the light on, you'll see a white circle, the field of view. And to properly set this distance, you need to set it to your particular interpupillary distance, which is simply the distance between your two pupils. That changes from human to human. It's not a constant. Some people have a wider distance, some a narrower distance. So you can tell it's wrong if, when you look through a scope, you'll see, with both eyes open, you'll see two fields of view, two circles that overlap each other. So you want to adjust that distance so that you see one field of view with both eyes open. I see students all the time just giving up on this, and rather than setting it properly, they just close one eye. But by doing that, you lose the whole benefit of having a binocular scope, which is you have depth perception with the binocular scope. So set it properly to your eyes. You only have to once per day, per time you're using it, and then it's set. Okay, there's another adjustment I'll talk about in a minute, but let's go through the steps of using this properly. Assuming you've already set the interpupillary distance, which you can do even before you put a slide in, you should always, every time you change a slide or the first time you put a slide on, start by using the coarse focus knob to bring the stage all the way down. Now, there's two reasons for this, but one is more important than the other. The simpler reason, or the less important reason, is simply that it gives you more room to work with. It's easier to load a slide when the thing is lower, away from the objective lenses. And by the way, you should always have the scanning lens in place, because that's the one you should start with, and it gives you the most room. So that's one reason. But the more important reason actually has to do with getting an image. If you skip this step and just use the scope in whatever position of the stage that was left by the previous student, that particular height or distance from the lens is almost certainly going to be wrong, right? It's not going to be in focus yet. Well, there's two ways for a slide to be out of focus. It's either too far from the lens, or stage is too low, or it's too close to the lens, the stage is too high. And you won't know which is the case. So if it's too high, for instance, it's going to look out of focus to you, and if you use the focus knob to bring it up, it's going to get even worse. It won't look any worse to you, but it's the problem is getting worse, and it will never get into focus. You're just going to get closer and closer to the lens, right? That's why you start with the stage all the way down, because you know it's going to be out of focus to begin with, but you also know that it's out of focus because it's too low, and therefore if you look through it while you're moving it up, eventually, and sometimes it takes longer than you'd think, eventually something will pop into focus. Okay, so that's the way to start each new slide, with the scanning lens in place as well. So you have the light on at, let's say, medium intensity. You have the interpupillary distance set for your eyes. Scanning lens in place, stage down. You put the slide into the mechanical stage, and then you use the mechanical stage knobs to roughly center the slide on the light. Then you put your eyes up to the oculars. But here's the proper way to do this. This is the rest of the customization to your own body. You open just the right eye, keep the left eye closed. This is assuming both of your eyes work. But open your right eye, left eye closed. You're looking with the right eye through the right ocular only. Okay, then use the coarse focus knob to bring it up. You know, continuously looking through the ocular until you see something appear. You get as good a focus as you can with the coarse focus knob. Then you tweak it with the fine focus knob and get it hopefully even better. As good as you can get with the fine focus knob. That means the focus is now set for your right eye. And therefore, at that point, don't touch the focus knobs again at that magnification. You're done. You don't want to change it because it's going to make it out of focus for your right eye. Then you close your right eye, open your left eye, and look through just the left ocular. If it looks in perfect focus to you still, that's fine, but it probably won't be. You don't want to change the focus knobs, though, because that will ruin it for the right eye. So that's why the left ocular can be spun in order to focus it. A separate focus for the ocular. If it's not already in focus, then you make it correct for the left eye with this adjustment so that when that's perfect, then you can open both eyes and they should both be in focus. All right? That's the rest of the customization for your body, because within one person, the left and right eye aren't necessarily equal. Okay, once you do that, then that setup is, you know, will apply to all. You don't have to keep doing that every time you switch slides. But that's why you have your own scope, so you can do that at the beginning and get good results. I don't remember whether I explicitly said this, but when you go up in objective lens, you increase the total magnification, of course, because the ocular magnification doesn't change, but the objective magnification does. And when you go to higher magnification, I guess I did say it for the field of view, the field of view diameter actually gets smaller. It looks the same to you, but it's getting smaller, right? And similarly, the depth of focus gets smaller. So that means that high magnification lenses are harder to use. They're nice because they give you bigger views, but they're harder to set up, which is why you always start with the scanning lens. There are two. We'll have exactly the same setup next week, so you're not doing everything in the packet. There are two kinds of slides, well, four overall slides, but two categories of slides you need to look at. Three of them are prepared slides, which are permanent devices. Don't throw these away. They're prepared for you. There's nothing living in them. But it doesn't matter which prepared slides you get. They're all the same within a tray. Just make sure you pay attention to where you're putting them back. Don't mix up the trays. Put them in the proper labeled tray. One of them is the colored threads, though, I talked about. Another one is a flea, which is pretty cool to look at close up. And the third one, though, is a letter E. It's just an E printed on paper, a typed E. And the reason that's there is not so much because E is so interesting. It's just to demonstrate that any image that you see when you look through one of these scopes is reversed right and left and upside down. So the E on the slide is actually big enough for you to see with your naked eye when you look at the slide. So you can see which direction it's facing when you put it onto the stage. But when you look at it, it's going to be left and right reversed and upside down compared to how you see it when you plop it down onto the stage. And, you know, when you're looking through the scope and using the mechanical stage knobs to move the slide around to find something on it, the image will make it look like it's moving one direction, but if you take your eye off the scope and look at how the direction the slide's actually moving, it's moving in the opposite direction because everything is reversed. So that's why you have that. Those are the three prepared slides. Those aren't very much of a problem to look at. And then you, today I just want you to make one wet mount, with a slide that's called a wet mount, obviously because you're using something that's wet. So just take, it doesn't matter which of these choices of water you use, whichever one you want. But a wet mount is made, instead of using a blank slide, which you use, I'm just going to use my hand because it's bigger, to represent a blank slide. You just put a drop of the stuff right in the middle of the slide. That's straightforward. But the way you can mess this up is by taking a cover slip, which, by the way, you should really be careful with these, seriously, because they're so thin glass that they can really slice you. So don't let them be in the middle of a napkin or something that someone's going to pick up. Don't let them lie around. Have them either here or on your slide and nowhere else. And by the way, when you are done with your wet mount, don't try to take it back off the cover slip. Just throw the whole thing, sliding cover slip, into the glass. But don't put any non-glass in there. Anyway, you have the droplet on the slide, and if you just plop a cover slip on it, you're going to trap a bunch of air bubbles in there, and they're going to look like cells to you because they're round things that show up well, but they're not. They're nothing but distractions. So you want to minimize that by, after having the droplet on the slide itself, put the cover slip next to it on its edge, and then just let it fall on the droplet, and most of the air will be forced out the side as it drops, and you might get a bubble or two, but you won't have many that way. All right? That's all you need to do today. The rest of it will look, we'll make other slides next week, and you'll be already familiar with how to use them. So that's it, and I'll put the tests up to look at.